Not if Aki makes him tell the entire story before supper with the captain. Denny envied Aki and Toshio their fellowship, as constant and intense as any star. She watched the boy laughing as he fended off his friend until they disappeared into the tube. "Well, sister," Emerson Dianeti grinned at Denny, "it appears you have a science command. My congratulations."
"Nothing's decided yet," she answered.
"Besides, Kipiru will be in charge."
"Kipiru will have military command. That part confuses me a bit. I don't know where Krydike's aiming, assigning Kipiru after the way I hear he behaved out there. My guess is it's his way of getting the poor dolly out of his high hide."
Denny had to agree, though she thought it a bit cruel. She suddenly felt a smooth, flat touch on the inner part of her left thigh. She yelped and whirled around with her hand at her throat, then sighed when she saw that it was the neo-dolphin anthropologist, Saud, who had slipped his left pectoral fin to goose her. The Stenos gave her an uneven grin. His rough teeth shone brightly. Denny's heart pounded.
"Shark breath, doggerel rhymer, go make love to an unwashed specimen bottle."
Her voice cracked. Saud reared back, his eyes momentarily white-rimmed in surprise. Apparently he hadn't expected Denny to be so high-strung.
"Oh, Denny," Saud sighed. "I was just trying to thank you for interceding with Krydike. Obviously your charms are more persuasive than any arguments I might raise. Sorry if I startled you."
Denny sniffed at Saud's double-edged apology. Still, her reaction might have been overdrawn. Her pulse slowly settled.
"Oh, never mind. Just don't you sneak up on me like that."
Without even turning around, she could feel Emerson Dianeti grinning behind his hand. Males, she thought. Do they ever grow up?
Denny,
Saud's voice crooned like a string trio.
"There is one small matter we have to discuss if we are going to be going on this expedition to the island together. Will you be churlish and let Krydike choose the science commander on the basis of prejudice? Or will you give me a chance? Maybe we can wrestle for it."
Dianeti started coughing. He turned the other way and cleared his throat. Denny blushed.
"We'll let the captain decide what's best. Besides, I'm not sure both of us should go. Charlie told me his analysis of the planetary crust samples may be of interest to you. There are traces of paleotechnology in recent layers. You ought to go see him right away."
Saud's eyes narrowed.
"That is interesting. I thought this planet was fallow far longer than would allow paleotech remnants."
But he dashed Denny's hopes.
"Alas, digging for long toasted garbage of past Kithrupan civilizations cannot be half as important as making contact with pre-sentience and establishing a proper patron claim for you humans. We Finns might have new client cousins before even neo-dogs are finished. Heaven help the poor creatures if the Tandu or Soro or similar ilk collect them. Besides," he soothed, "this is a chance for us to get to know each other better and exchange professional information, of course."
Emerson Dianeti had to cough again.
"I've left the repairs for too long already, kids," he said.
His burr was back in force.
"I think I'll be getting on back to my engines and let you two discuss your plans."
Dianeti's grin was barely suppressed. Denny swore eventual revenge.
Emerson? She hissed.
Yes, lass.
He looked back at her innocently. She glared.
Oh, I'll bet you haven't a drop of Celtic blood in your body.
The dark engineer smiled at her.
Why, bairn, didn't you know? All Scots are engineers, and all engineers are Scots.
He waved and swam off before Denny could think of a reply.
Trapped, she cursed, by a cliché. When Dionidi was out of earshot, Saud sidled close to Denny.
Shall we start planning our expedition?
His blowmouth was near her ear. Denny started. Suddenly she noticed that everyone had gone. Denny's heart beat faster, and her face mask seemed not to provide enough air.
Not here, we won't.
She spun away and began swimming.
Let's go to the wardroom. There are plotting boards and air domes. A man can breathe there.
Thout kept pace, uncomfortably close.
Aw, Denny,
he said, but he didn't press. Instead, he began to sing a low, atonal hybrid melody in a complex and obscure dialect of Trianary. Against her will, Denny found herself drawn into the song. It was strange and eerily beautiful, and it took her several minutes to realize that it was also dirty as hell. Chapter 15 Stenos. Moki, Srikapal, and Hakako Joe spent their latest off-duty period as they had spent every one for weeks, complaining.
He was down in my section again today,
Srikapal griped,
sticking his jaw into everybody's work. Thinks he's so discreet, but he fills the soundscape with his knee-k-k echoes.
Moki nodded. There wasn't any doubt who he was. Crying, crooning, talk-talk rhythms, my group wags tails to his logic. Hakuka Joe winced. Moki seldom spoke Anglic anymore, and his trinary had a little too much primal in it to be decent. But Srikapal obviously thought Moki's point valid.
All the tersiops worship Crydike. They imitate him and try to act like kinetic adepts. Even half of our Stenos seem just as swallowed by his spell.
Well, if he can get us out of here alive, I will forgive even his nosy inspections,
Hakuka Joe suggested. Moki tossed his head.
Alive, alive, to deep, rich waters, follow, follow, a rough-toothed leader.
Will you make quiet?
Hakuka Joe swung about quickly to listen to echoes in the rest area. A few crew fan were gathered by the food machines. They gave no sign of having heard.
Heed your scatter. You're already in trouble without clicking mutiny. I hear Dr. Metz has gone to Takata Gym about you.
Moki smirked defiantly. Srikapal agreed with Moki's unspoken comment.
Metz won't do nothing, Srikapal said. It's common knowledge. Half the Stenos aboard were chosen by him. We're his babies,
Srikapal crooned.
With Orly and Tisht gone, and Hikahi in sickbay, the only one we gotta watch out for is the chief smartass himself.
Hakuka Joe looked about wildly.
You too? Look, will you be quiet? There comes Kafa John.
The other two turned the way he indicated. They saw a huge neofin swim out of a hull lift and head their way. Dolphins half his size got out of the giant's way quickly.
So what? He is one of us,
Srikapal said uncertainly.
He's also a bosun,
Hakuka Joe answered hotly.
He hates tersiops, smartasses too,
Smokey cut in Anglic.
If so, he keeps it to himself. He knows how humans feel about racism.
Smokey looked away. The dark mottled dolphin was like a lot of fins in holding the patron race in a sort of superstitious dread. He countered weakly in trinary. Ask the black men, the brown and yellow men, ask the whales about human racism.
That was long ago, Akukajo snapped, and humans had no patrons to guide them.
Just so,
Srikapal said, but his agreement sounded unsure. They all shut up as Katha John approached. Akukajo felt a recurring chill on contemplating the bosun. Katha John was a giant, surpassing 3 meters in length, with a girth that 2 men couldn't span with their arms. His bottlenose was blunt, and unlike the other so-called stenos aboard, his coloring was not mottled, but deeply countershaded. Rumor had it, Katha John was another of Dr. Metz's special cases. The giant swam up nearby and exhaled a loud spurt of bubbles. His open jaws displayed a fearful array of rough teeth. The others unconsciously adopted a submissive posture, eyes averted, food mouths closed.
"I hear there's been more fighting," Katha John rumbled in deep underwater Anglic. "Fortunately, I was able to bribe Senior Bosun's Thata with a rare sensi tape, and he agreed not to report it to the captain. I'll expect the cost of the tape to be covered by somebody with interest."
Smokey seemed about to speak, but Katha John cut him off.
"No excuses. Your temper is a burden I can do without. Stata would have been right to challenge you for biting him from behind like that."
"Dare him, dare him, Tersiops coward, dare him."
Smokey barely blatted out the beginning before being slammed amidships by a blow from Katha John's mighty flukes. He slewed several meters through the water before coming to rest, whistling in pain. Katha John came close and murmured softly,
"You are Tersiops. That is the name of our entire library-registered species. Tersiops amicus. Friendly bottlenose. Ask Dr. Metz if you don't believe me. Embarrass the rest of us aboard who have stenos grafts in our genes. Vice Captain Takata Jim and myself, for instance. By acting like an animal, and I will show you how to be a friendly bottlenose. I'll use your guts for hawsers."
Smokey trembled and turned away, jaw closed tightly. Katha John swept the cowering fin with a contemptuous spray of sonar, then turned to regard the others. Akukajo and Srikapal looked idly at the bright, decorative Garibaldi and angelfish, which swam unmolested throughout the central bay. Akukajo whistled softly.
"Break is almost over," the bosun snapped. "Back to work, and save your hatred for private time."
Katha John turned about and sped away, the turbulence from his flukes almost toppling the others. Akukajo watched him go, then whistled a long, low sigh.
"That should do it," Katha John thought, as he hurried off to duties in the cargo section.
Smokey, especially, would be quiet for a while. He had better be. If there was anything he and Takata Jim did not need, it was a spate of racist innuendo and suspicion. Nothing would unite the humans in alienation like that sort of thing. And catch the attention of Crydike, too. Takata Jim insists we give the captain one more chance to come up with a plan to get us home alive. All right, then. I can wait. But what if he doesn't? What if he keeps asking for sacrifice from a crew that never volunteered to be heroes? In that case, someone would have to be able to present the crew with an alternative to follow. Takata Jim was still reluctant, but that might not last. If the time did come, they would need human support, and Moki's kind of interracial bullying could wreck the chances of that. Githajohn intended to ride close herd on that Stenos to keep him nice and docile. Even if it was nice, from time to time, to chew the tail of some bloody, shore-hugging, sanctimonious, smart-ass Terciops.
This ends Side 1 of Cassette 3.